Hello friends, this is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. So glad that you've joined us today, and we do pray earnestly that this broadcast will be a very, very special blessing to you. If you're not a Christian today, don't turn the dial. Hang around with us for just a little while. Listen to what God's Word has to say about how much He loves you and the length that He has went to demonstrate that love so that He might be able to forgive you and not judge you, to save you. Hallelujah. What a wonderful, wonderful plan of salvation, because it's coming from a heart of intense love for people just like you, just like me. I'm so glad to be a Christian today. You know, I'm not saying these things just because I am a pastor all of these years and I'm called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it's the appropriate thing that to say as a minister. I'm saying these things first as a Christian, a blood-washed, blood-bought child of God, and then as a minister. This is a personal experience of mine to know that my sins have been forgiven, and they were forgiven because a price, a ransom, was paid so that I could be free. And the ransom wasn't silver or gold. The ransom was more precious. It was the life of the Son of God, and not just a quick, sanitary death, but a tortured death. And a suffering like no man has ever known. And it wasn't nails that held Him to the cross. It was love for you, friend, and love for me. So don't miss this broadcast. We're talking about the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, something that strikes terror into the heart of the devil and his minions, and something that brings rejoicing to the saints and the angels above. Praise God. So we want you to join us in this great message. We're going to begin with our foundational scripture for this teaching in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. If you want to turn there in the scriptures, while you're turning, we would like to invite you to come to our website. Just type in THCOG, that stands for The Holy Church of God, an affiliate of Independent Assemblies of God International since 1974. And I have been the senior pastor of this ministry for going on 38 years now, 37 and a half behind us. And God has been richly, richly blessing our services. And there are live services that you can listen to or download. There are recent editions of Let's Talk About Jesus. And people are coming literally from Africa to the Arctic, from Asia to the United Kingdom, to our website. And we're so grateful that God has just directed folks to come and receive the Word of God. Hallelujah. So we're excited about preaching today, because we know God's going to send it to places we could never go. And we're glad you are part of that process today. As a Christian, we want to build you up in your faith, to challenge you to be more committed to Christ than you've ever been. And if you're not a Christian, please be our special guest today. We desperately want you to hear how much God loves you and to what extent He has gone to save you and to save me. Praise God. Well, we're going to read the scripture today in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18, 19, and 20. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed, that word literally means ransomed, a price being paid to set another free, that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from the vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who was verily foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. That's right, for you. You say, preacher, you don't know me. Yeah, I know, but God does. And He says, I love you, and I've sent my Son to save you, to take your place on the cross, to take your punishment on the cross, so that when you repent and come unto me and receive him as your Savior, that I can forgive you. He was manifest in these last times for you today. Make no mistake about it. Everything that Jesus did on that cross was for you and for me and for every person on this planet. That's why there is no reason why you cannot be saved today except you do not choose to repent and receive Christ as your Savior, because the price has been paid for your salvation. And Christian, if you are saved today, you've been bought with a price, and you are not your own. And so God is going to challenge you as we study about the blood of Jesus to fall so deeply in love with him for what he's done for you that you're willing to recognize because of this ransom price, you owe him everything and you give him everything, literally offering your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. That's everything you are and everything you have. Your body contains your soul and your spirit. And you offer him yourself in totality. And when you do, you begin to live that life in the Spirit. Hallelujah. There's no life like it. Jesus literally said, the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come to give you life, and to give it to you more abundantly. This is this fulfilled life where inside of you, the real you, is totally fulfilled and finds joy and peace in the Lord Jesus Christ and finds in his service the greatest fulfillment of your life is to serve the living God. Hallelujah. Amen. What a life this is. Jesus went on to describe that life. He said, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses. So this is a life beyond anything that the world can offer in terms of the material and the financial. This is a life that is beyond price. We were not redeemed with something that can be corrupted and that has the power to corrupt, and that is silver and gold, but with the precious blood of a lamb. Hallelujah, without spot and without blemish. And because Jesus was willing to go to the cross and shed his blood, there is power in the blood that was shed on Calvary to restore that broken relationship with God and restore fellowship with him. Power literally to draw us into a closer relationship with God. In a sense, the blood has a magnetic drawing power. Listen to what Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13 declares. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You see, the blood brings power to change lives and to bring you closer to the Father, to save you and make you whole. It has power also to help you live for Jesus Christ. Amen. So the cross restores humanity back into a right standing and right relationship with God. That's what righteousness means. The Lord changes us, recreates us into new creatures in Christ. I was talking to someone the other day, a minister, and we just got to talking about what salvation really represents. And part of it is if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. Not only was the blood the means whereby man entered into a new relationship with God, it was a visible sign or seal that a covenant between them had been established. The blood of Jesus is a sign to the Christian and to the world, amen, that our relationship with God has been restored because of the sacrifice of his Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why in Holy Communion services, when churches observe the Lord's Supper, the Eucharisto, the Eucharist, the thanksgiving, taking of the representative symbols of his body and his blood, on those wonderful mornings when we serve the Lord's Supper to our congregation, we are publicly declaring that we are saved because of His sacrifice, and that God has honored the blood of Jesus shed on Calvary in our behalf and gave us full acceptance. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're brought near to God by the blood of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. You know, there's an Old Testament scripture that said God's ears are not heavy that He cannot hear. His hand is not short that it cannot save. But your sins have separated between you and your God. I am so glad when Jesus hung on that cross between heaven and earth, He bridged that great chasm between a holy God and sinful man. He bridged it with His own body and His own blood. You know, I heard a story the other day. It was a true story that in the early days when cities and were so, actually there wasn't much of building codes, but when cities began to be built in America, there was these high rise buildings that were several stories tall that people with many apartments in them, and they were like only about 6 foot distance between the two. And a fire broke out in the hallway of an apartment house up on the near the top floor, and there was a dad tried to get his kids. There was 5 kids and him in the apartment, and the mother was working. He tried to get them through the hall to safety to a stairwell, and there was no fire escape. They couldn't make it to the stairwell. It was totally engulfed in flames and smoke. He came back in and shut the door, and the door became hot, began to smoke, and smoke began to come under the door. He ran and opened the window, and there was an open window on the other side. And he told his kids, line up behind me, and they did. And what he did, he locked his toes on one side of the windowsill, and he literally fell forward and caught the other windowsill with his fingertips. He, being a man, 6 foot tall, now became the bridge. And he said, come on, kids, crawl across, Daddy. And one by one, they came across, crawling literally across a human bridge to safety to keep from being destroyed. When the last child crossed, the dad's strength gave out, and he fell to his death. But he became a human bridge to safety for his children through the sacrifice of his own life. I'm going to tell you what Jesus did on that cross, friend. He became a human bridge that bridged that great chasm that sin had created for you and for me. Oh, I'm not just saying this because I'm a preacher and this is my vocation, my profession. This is what I do. I'm really not speaking so much as a preacher right now or as a pastor, but as a person that has through the body and shed blood of Jesus, has been saved through His death, through His sacrifice, through His precious blood. I have been saved. And I want to tell everybody as often as I can, as clearly as I can, just what it means to be ransomed by the blood of Jesus, to be loved by God to the degree that He would give His Son, to be loved by Jesus Christ so much that He would lay down His life in order to redeem me. I owe Him everything. See, that's why the Apostle Paul said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, in light of what He has done, the length and the extent that He was willing to go to show that love and save by saving you and sacrificing for you, that you offer your body, which is the whole of your being, the container for your soul and spirit. It's the whole of you, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Hallelujah. Friend of mine, today, if you're a Christian, what is going to bring and stimulate dedication and deep devotion to Jesus, that you can be a true disciple, is following Him for the right reason. Following Him because He gave everything to save you. By understanding the vast power that was released at Calvary and the vast amount of love that flowed in order for Jesus to stay on that cross. Oh, how He loves you and me. And oh, how we should love Him back. Praise God. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus is a visible sign that a covenant between God and man has been established through the shed blood of Jesus, and that Jesus laid Himself down and became the bridge over that great chasm that sin had created. Praise the Lord. So there's power in the blood of Jesus to restore that broken relationship with God, restoring fellowship. The Bible literally said we have peace with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. And the wonderful thing about that peace with God, once that is established, then we can enjoy and employ the peace of God in our hearts and in our lives. When that tension between a holy God and fallen man is relieved, and when the fear of death is conquered, oh friend, we can live our life with assurance, with boldness, with confidence. Hallelujah. We can lay our head down on our pillow and sleep at night, even though we live in fearful times, because we know God is with us here. And if we should draw our last breath, we're going to be with God. You see, for a Christian, it's a win-win, because we cannot lose because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. There's power in the blood of Jesus to give us great power in prayer and great privilege to be bold in our faith. Power to strengthen our faith life and our prayer life. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, we do have peace with God, and we have acceptance with God, and we have access to God in prayer. Hebrews 10 and verse 19 said, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus." Hallelujah. Amen. We can't approach God and show Him our righteousness, our merits. We cannot stand in the presence of a holy God based on our own merits, our own good deeds. We can only stand in the presence of a holy God because the blood of Jesus has cleansed us and gave us this special privilege before Him. Because we can now come to God by the blood of Jesus, we should be bold in our faith. Having therefore, brethren, boldness, great confidence, holy boldness, praise God. Amen. There's a scripture back in the Old Covenant in the book of Proverbs, and it says that the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. There's something about knowing that you're right with God. There's something about knowing that God is for you because the blood of Jesus has been shed in your behalf. You can stand on the finished work of Christ. Hallelujah. And take courage in your heart. Praise the Lord. Amen. Sin that separates us from God, that sin issue has been settled at the cross. So we can come to Him with boldness. We can come behind the veil. We can come into the holiest place, praise God, and be accepted of God. That, friend, is the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We declare that we can enter the holiest, the very throne room of God, the very presence of God, and we can pray and believe that God will hear and that God will answer those prayers. Praise God. Amen. This is a true testimony, and I want to share it with you. Bold faith is always so honored by God. When we just pray and trust Him, it brings honor to Him. A woman was at work when she received a phone call that her daughter was very sick with a fever. She left her work and stopped by the pharmacy to get some medication for her daughter. When returning to her car, she found she had locked her keys in the car. My son did that the other day, and my grandson, actually, in my son's car. And we had to get AAA. It's a bad feeling to have a vehicle and transportation, and it's running fine, but you can't drive it. The keys are locked inside. She was in a hurry to get home to her sick daughter. She didn't know what to do, so she called her home and told the babysitter what had happened, and that she didn't know what to do. The babysitter told her that her daughter was getting worse. She said, "You might find a coat hanger and use that to open the door." The woman looked around, found an old rusty coat hanger that had been thrown down on the ground, possibly by someone else who at some time or another had locked their keys in their car as well. She looked at the hanger and said, "I don't know how to use this thing." So she bowed her head and asked God to send her some help. Within 5 minutes, an old, rusty car pulled up with a dirty, greasy, bearded man. And this is not against beards. It's the dirty, greasy thing, because I have a beard, too, who was wearing an old biker skull rag on his head. The woman thought, "God, is this who you sent to help me?" But she was desperate, so she was also very thankful. The man got out of his car and asked if he could help. She said, "Yes, my daughter is very sick. I stopped to get her some medication. I locked my keys in my car. I must get home to her. Please, can you use this coat hanger to unlock my car?" He said, "Sure." He walked over to the car, and in less than 1 minute, the door was opened. She hugged the man, and through her tears, she said, "Thank you so much. You're a very nice man." The man replied, "Lady, I'm not a nice man. I just got out of prison today. I was in prison for car theft and have only been out for about an hour." The woman hugged the man again and with tears cried out loud, "Thank you, Lord, for sending me a professional." Hallelujah. There's something about knowing that you're right with God, knowing the power of the blood of Jesus to cause you to be right with God, acceptable to God, no longer alienated by sin, that will embolden you to pray in faith and confidence, because you know that that great chasm that sin created has been closed, and you can now talk to God mouth to mouth, and you have His ear, and therefore you have His help, because you have His heart. Oh, friend, we serve such a wonderful God today, a God who is willing, ready, and able, because the blood has been shed for you, to forgive you if you will come to Him by faith, and then to keep you who have come to Him by faith in the finished work of Jesus. Now, you know what the devil is called? The word devil actually means, in the Greek, it's diabolos. And it literally means an accuser, a maligner, someone who wants to tear at your character, to tear you down, to belittle you and condemn you to God and to others. He is a maligner, and he's the accuser, according to Revelation chapter 12. He is the accuser of the brethren. But I want to tell you today, there's power in the blood of Jesus to walk in tremendous victory, because this enemy, as our accuser, can be defeated through what Jesus has accomplished for us at Calvary. The Bible said in Revelation 12 and 11, "And they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb." Well, let me read verse 10. "Now is the accuser of our brethren cast down, that accused them day and night, and they overcame Him. Not by being so sinlessly perfect there was nothing to be accused of, but through one element they overcame Him, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." You see, He was defeated there, precisely at the cross. Satan is overcome by the blood. Satan got the beating that will never let him to rise up again into that place of power over the believer. And it happened at Calvary. The cross itself was a place of tremendous victory. The great victory cry, it is finished, fulfilled, mission accomplished, paid in full. The Lord Jesus breaks the chains and brings rescue. He takes people out of prison and bondage and leads us to freedom and to great liberty. The blood delivers everything we need to be saved and to be set free. I don't know what kind of prison you may be in today. You may be in a prison of fear. The Bible said fear hath torment, literally meaning penal imprisonment. It brings its own punishment. But I'm telling you something today. There is a deliverer and a deliverance for you. For perfect love, cast out all fear. And this love that we are loved with is perfect love. And it provided for us a perfect sacrifice for our sin. It's not our perfection. It is His perfection that has brought us salvation. Praise God. And today, regardless of the chains that hold you, the blood of Jesus Christ has been shed so that every one of those chains can be broken. You say, preacher, if I didn't have all of these sins holding me in bondage, I would come to Christ. I'm going to tell you, come to Christ, sins and all. Confess those sins. Repent of them. Change your mind about sinning, and God will change your life. Praise God. Amen. Repentance means a 180-degree turn. It doesn't mean you have to, in your power, overcome sin in your life. It means you have to use the power of your own will to choose the right way. Make the choice. God will give you the strength. God will give you the power. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, the Bible said that we, as Christians, have been translated out of the powers of darkness, out from under Satan's strong chains of influence, into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And it can happen to you today, right where you are. Amen. Because Jesus, like a bridge, not just over troubled water, but something far beyond that, a bridge between a holy God and sinful man, Jesus has laid Himself down, laid down His life, and He's asking you to receive this gift of life that came through His sacrifice today, to come to Him by simple faith. Oh, I love that great Billy Graham hymn. It's not he didn't write it, but he used it in so many of his crusades during the invitation. Just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee. O Lamb of God, I come. Right where you are, would you come to Jesus Christ today? Would you come and accept Him as your Lord and your personal Savior? Would you just change your mind about sin? Say, Lord, I don't want to go down this road any further that I'm drawn to, that holds me. Lord, I want to follow You. Today, I come to You. Forgive me, cleanse me, and make me Your child. God will come to you, and He will save your soul, change your life now and forever if you will follow Him. Listen, friend, if you're a Christian today, and the devil is still accusing you of things in your past, I don't care if your past is just yesterday. If you've confessed your sin, you claim the finished work of Jesus. You plead the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, you can come boldly before the throne. Hallelujah. God is so good today. Will you come back next week? And let's talk about Jesus.